On the line with us is Drew Spencer Penrose, the staff attorney and legal director with FairVote, fairvote.org. You can tweet Drew at Drew_FV, as in FairVote. Drew, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
So how fair was our vote?
Well, it's interesting. The 2016 election was, in many ways, one of the worst that Americans have experienced in terms of campaign tone. You know, people feeling like they were getting less information, really getting a lot of negativity and that sort of thing. It was a presidential election where, of course, the campaigning was dedicated to a few swing states to the exclusion of the rest, and congressional elections overwhelmingly just re-electing the same incumbents that were in office before, really at higher rates even than we've seen before. So less competition there. Really a lot of stuff that made the case for reform, as a lot of people began to realize shortly after the election.
Yeah. So you have this petition supporting ranked choice voting. This is, you said 2,500 people so far have signed this. More than 300 people join your Google group. New groups, Voter Choice Massachusetts, ranked choice voting for Colorado. This is the main thrust of Fair Vote. Do I have that right?
That's right. So ranked choice voting is a voting method where people can rank their choices, and then you are able to elect candidates with broader support. It also tends to result in more positive campaigns. It passed this year in Maine for the election of their governor, for both houses of their state legislature, and for their congressional elections.
Is that the first state that has done it statewide?
It is. It's the first state where it'll be done for statewide executive offices like that and legislative offices. So really a very positive moment coming out of an election where people felt pretty negative.
For people who don't know what we're talking about when we talked about ranked choice voting, I've referred to it or a variation of it on as instant runoff voting. I think ranked choice is what it's how they refer to it in Australia. Using the last election, where we had basically on the presidential ticket, you had basically four candidates. You had the Libertarian Gary Johnson, Green Party Jill Stein, Democrat Hillary Clinton, Republican Donald Trump. If those four people were on the ballot, what would my experience be like when I walk into a voting booth?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the biggest difference with the ballot is that instead of being forced to only vote for one candidate and having to think a whole lot about, you know, not only which candidate do I like, but which are the candidates that really have a chance to win, and if I vote for this candidate, am I in some sense throwing away my vote? Worries like that that you hear all the time. You would instead have the ability to rank candidates in order of choice. And then there would be no more need to worry about how other people were.
So let's say I go in and I say, okay, you know, I'm a super liberal. I've been a progressive most of my life. I really like the Green Party and Jill Stein seems like a reasonable person. I don't think she has any chance in hell of ever being elected president, but I want to vote for her, but I don't want to throw away my vote. So with ranked choice voting, what do I do?
The best strategy is just to rank your favorite candidate first, your second favorite candidate.
So I would vote for Jill Stein first, and I would vote for Hillary Clinton second, right?
Sure, if that was your honest preference.
And then what happened? And given the outcome of the actual outcome of the election, and we know, you know, what Jill Stein got, what, 2-3% of the national vote. So what happens when that vote is tabulated?
So if a candidate has a majority right off the bat, then they're going to win, just like any other election. But in the event that you've got several candidates and there's no one candidate who has a clear majority, then what you're going to do is eliminate the candidate who's in last place and then recount the vote. So if I voted for a candidate who's in last place as my first choice, my vote would instantly count for my next choice. So that's why I really don't.
So my Jill Stein vote becomes a Hillary Clinton vote because she was my second choice and Jill Stein didn't even pass 2%.
Right. If there's no majority and Jill Stein was in last place, she would be defeated. Your vote would instantly count for your next choice rather than just being thrown away.
And I wouldn't have to cast a third and fourth vote for Gary Johnson and Donald Trump.
You could. It would never hurt you. So ranking a later candidate never hurts the chances of your top choice.
Right.
So the best strategy is to rank all the candidates you have an opinion on. If you really have no preference between them, you can leave them unranked.
Yeah. Okay. And what other countries have done this, and how has it worked?
So it's used in several places in the United States. There are about a dozen cities throughout the United States, including several in the Bay Area and California, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and St. Paul, Minnesota, the city of Portland, Maine, before Maine adopted it for statewide. And there's a lot of research showing that things are working very well there. A majority of people in those cities say that they support the system and think it should be used in more cities. Ranked ballots are used by every voter and a whole lot of the English-speaking world. So you'll see it all over the place, not only in the UK and a lot of party elections, also in Ireland, Australia, you mentioned earlier, Scotland. It's used in India in some limited uses. It's actually recommended by Robert's Rules of Order for any situation where you can't just have everybody vote again and again and again the way that you would if you were in like a parliamentary body. So it's become something of a standard for elections generally, and you know, the vote for one system is simpler in some ways, but in some ways there's a reason why Robert's Rules of Order doesn't recommend that.
Right, and fairvote.org is working to take this nationwide. What states are up next?
So we saw an incredible upsurge in grassroots support right after the election, which I alluded to earlier. And so one thing that we did is we started a Google group. I'd encourage people to visit fairvote.org. We have a list of 11 actions you can take to advance the cause. If you join that Google group and just announce, you know, this is who I am, I'd like to get involved, this is my state, you'll find that there are people probably in just about every state working for reform in that state. So we're working with them, helping them get resources, and it's really becoming a movement.
Yeah, that's marvelous. Drew Spencer Penrose, the staff attorney and legal director of FairVote. FairVote.org is the website where you can find out more about this. This is a completely transpartisan issue. This has to do with small d democracy working in a small r republic rather than Democratic or Republican stuff, but it's important stuff. Drew, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
Great talking. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.